Hey there, people of the interwebs. It's me, Brandon Noel. Hey, before we jump into this episode's book, just would like to remind you we can't do this without the help of supporters like yourself. Patreon.com/DestinyComics, where you'll get the episodes early, as well as, you know, access to my art, the comic strips, behind the scenes videos, as well as videos of just my ramblings. Want to thank the people who supported our Kickstarters this year, for both Gumshoe Magazine 1 and 2. Just thank you. Again, patreon.com/DestinyComics. If it sounds like I'm rambling, I am rambling, because it's like 105 degrees in my office and I can't have my fans on to record because it messes up the sound. So I'm just a puddle of sweat right now. It's just all sweat, and I'm kind of losing it. So, with that said, this episode is Callahan's Cross Time Saloon. I fell in love with this book series. I went ahead, I read further on than just what we were supposed to read as a book club. Absolutely fell in love with this series. It is one of the most beautiful and humane. It's a science fiction series, but it's all about humanity. And why humanity is important and why art's important, and you matter, I matter, the human race matters, and also beer matters, honestly, if we're being honest. So pony up to the bar, and this is our discussion of Callahan's Cross Time Saloon.
Laugh has been described as a chuckle.
Right. Oh, the British guy. I know.
Well, there's a British teenager.
You feel the need to read it.
Check it out from the library.
Support your local. La la la.
Told the parents. No. And we are the bookies.
Today. The best Doctor Who's is John Pertwee and Tom Baker.
For me, it's a tie.
All the rest of them are like, okay, you guys are just trying too hard.
For me, it's a tie between the third Doctor, John Pertwee, and Patrick Troughton. I like Patrick Troughton. Although I can totally see why everyone loves Tom Baker. So.
Tom Baker's awesome. That's what I grew up with. I remember seeing episodes when they were new.
Wow.
Technically, we still see new episodes, too. It's still coming out.
I haven't seen
any of hers. The last episode Justin and I saw was the transformation episode between Peter Capaldi turned into her. We haven't seen any of the rest.
She is great, but unfortunately the writing around her
sucks.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't been given the best storylines. It's like,
she is great.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Because in her first episode, you get the idea of like, oh, she's the engineer doctor. She's the doctor who's going to build gadgets and get herself out of the thing. And then they didn't capitalize on that at all.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Just everything. We were like, okay, this could have been better.
The last new Doctor Who episode I saw was the one with the kid had the.
Are you
my mummy?
That's the only.
I love that. It's so good. The end of that one is the best. Everyone lives. Finally.
That was the very first one where I was like, ooh, I got chills watching it.
I love it. But that's the second half, because the first half you're like freaking terrified, and the second half you're like, oh, we fixed it.
That was literally the only time where I was like, kids? I don't know. That's kind of terrifying.
My understanding.
Ooh, Micah's just the right age.
The whole Jodie Whittaker thing had to do with the
dress
pandemic.
Dress Micah up is, are you
like,
my mummy?
Like that yes. compounded with, I mean, I guess, the bad writing to basically give her like nothing to do.
Mm. Well, it's like.
They, well,
the new showrunner, I was really excited because he wrote a really good Michael episode of Star Matt Trek Smith and series.
Loves it.
Oh, okay.
Like the new showrunner wrote Power of Three, which is the one where Matt Smith stuck with the cubes and.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, so I'm like, all right, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then ever since he took over the head of the show, I'm like, oh, he does not know what he's doing.
Well, aren't they just, like, they just announced that they're going back to a previous showrunner, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it Russell Davies?
Or Russell T. Davies is coming here.
He'd think it was a cool, he wouldn't know.
And, like, I know not everybody loves him, but I love his work on the first series, you know?
Yeah, Russell T. Davies is a diehard.
Did you ever listen to Chameleon Circuit?
He wouldn't do it that
way. I heard some of their music,
yeah. Did you ever hear, his speech isn't
I think I've heard it after his dying. Not that one.
No, I'm talking about
the whole song. Basically, it takes you through the history.
I think he's a villain.
I know.
Well, they gave Thanos an actual character arc. He wasn't just a mustache twirler.
Yeah.
No. I don't know what they're going to do with the, what is it, series four and on.
The big bad is Kang the Conqueror. They're doing Kang.
For what?
Did you guys watch the Legend of the Ten Rings? I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, I like
Chi-Chi. Oh, yeah, that one was awesome. Yeah.
Really good. Phase four,
though, has been very...
Phases, that's what it is.
Yeah, because... Phase four is just about to end, and just the whole thing feels very disconnected. Whereas, like, the first phase, oh, we're building up to the first Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. The second phase, oh, we're building the Thanos storyline. Third phase is the end of the Thanos thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth phase has just been very, like...
Randomness.
There's no thread. There's no...
They are grabbing their story to try to make money so Disney can make their stock go up.
No, well, I give them more credit than that.
I don't.
But it's just, I was... Phase 4...
They came out with She-Hulk.
Hey, first off, She-Hulk's amazing.
Justin and I watched, and Mom watched the episode, the first episode like yesterday. It was good. I liked it a lot. And it's very much on par.
It's very much with the original comic.
I was going to say, yeah, the comics themselves are
the original. She breaks the fourth wall in the comics. She's funny. There's a lot of humor in it in the comics. Mm-hmm. Some people are upset about that, but if they read the comics, they'd be like, oh.
It's the George, George Byrne She-Hulk run. It's really good.
Yeah. We really liked the first one. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
The other thing to consider about Phase 4 is that it's the first phase that they transition to TV series instead of just movies.
Yes.
Right. So that right there is a huge change compared to what everyone's been used to for the past 10 years.
Right.
You know?
My problem is Phase 4, where's the Fantastic Four? You end on Fantastic
Where's
Four.
Where's the X-Men?
Talk to Sony,
They're working
man.
On that. They are actually
working
on that.
Supposedly.
Although I will say, John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, I'm fucking down, man.
No.
I want it.
Why not?
No, okay, 10 years ago, the artist of Fantastic Four was asked who gets to play Reed Richards. And he said, George Clooney. And ever since then, I've had George Clooney. Because even now, you get George Clooney. Because when Reed Richards walks into the room, everyone shuts up. He has that charisma, he has that authority, he has that star power.
I see what you're saying, but that wasn't the case with the previous Fantastic Four movies. You know?
No.
It was a good actor, and I'm not just saying this because people have said I look like him. But
like
he didn't
Michael
have that
commanding
presence.
I see
presence,
where you're
you know?
Coming from now, yeah.
I've been told that. I don't see it myself.
I agree, no.
He wasn't even the best Batman. How do we expect him to be the best Reed Richards? I'm sorry. And I like George Clooney. One Fine Day is a great film.
He
love it. But come on.
Batman at
it's
all.
A chick flick. I don't expect you all to know that. It's okay.
Well,
I mean, I expect you to know it.
No, we're bitching about nerd stuff, Brandon.
No, okay, sorry.
It's half the show.
Sorry. Okay, so one of my roommates in college, I'd never seen it, and she had it, and it became art. We need to relax and take a nap movie. We'd put it on and just lay down, and we wouldn't always finish it. We'd fall asleep. But it was just like, I don't know. It was just oh my gosh, we just need to disconnect from everything.
What movie was that?
One Fine Day. It's a chick flick. I don't expect you to like it or even know anything about it. It's Michelle Pfeiffer and George Clooney.
Ooh.
And their kids go to the same school. He's a reporter. He's got a big thing he has to get taken care of that day. She has a big presentation. She's a architect, designer. She has a big presentation. And his wife just got married, and the babysitter who's going to watch the daughter, his ex-wife, obviously, on the honeymoon, he gets awakened. He gets his daughter suddenly dropped off for the week, and he's supposed to get her to a field trip. Well, they both missed the boat. And so now they've got a dad and his daughter and a mom and her son, and they both have big presentations. And even though they don't necessarily know each other or like each other, whatever, like, she's friends with the, you know, ex-wife. Like, they, you know, would... Anyway, they end up having to kind of rely on each other to watch the kids for different times throughout the day. And, you know, it's just, it's really fun.
Can you watch it for this time slot?
Because I have this presentation, and then, you know, that's kind of what happens, you know. And his daughter wanders off. At one point, she's like, he was so great. He took care of my son. She's like talking to someone like, I know, I've lost his daughter. And it's just really, it's a fun thing. It's Michelle Pfeiffer. I like her. It's George Clooney. I like him.
Did it end up being one fine day?
It was one fine day. Everything worked out. They fell for each other. At the end, it's a chick flick, of course.
And the last line in the movie is, boy, this was one fine day. Roll credits.
Was it a one fine day?
That's the Family Guy.
Thank you, Lewis. Like,
I love it when they use the title of the movie in the movie.
Right?
Bat credit card. I'm not over the bat credit card.
Right, I'm not saying he was a good Batman, but I'm saying he could be a damn good Reed Richards.
Wow, that was a sudden switch from Family Guy to, oh, back to the conversation. Like, there's no break at all.
Watch One Fine Day.
Okay.
So, all right,
oh, are we starting?
We're recording.
Yeah, awesome. Trying to start.
Almost nine minutes in.
This is all preamble, and one day it's going to end up on DVD.
One fine day.
It'll be a fine day for all.
One fine day. Wow.
I've been recording since Doctor Who. So, all right, we are the Bookies. I'm Brandon Noel.
I'm Justin Stallard.
Bonnie Stallard.
Wayne Abraham.
David McFarlane.
Louis Lopez.
Aileen Noel.
And this month we are reading Callahan's Crosstime Saloon by Spider Robinson. Wayne, this was your book. You want to give a quick plot synopsis and why you put this in the hat?
I put this in the hat because it is a favorite book of mine. I enjoy Spider Robinson's writing. It is actually a short story anthology of 9 different stories, but they all take place at Callahan's place. And it is the kind of place that you find it if you need to find it. And it doesn't always just, you know, it's not just, you know, oh, that's a bar, let's stop there. Because it's the outside of the building is very nondescript and doesn't have a sign on it or anything, and it's got a group of regulars and there are newcomers that come in on the stories, and it also seems to be a nexus for time travelers and aliens and things like that that show up out of the ordinary type thing. And I enjoy the characters in it, the regulars, and their interactions with whoever it is that came through the door that day or that night. And so I recommended it. I think this is the first anthology in what, 4 years?
What other anthology have we done? Screwtape Letters?
You just say the whole time we've been doing this.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done an anthology.
We haven't done an anthology at all.
Yeah. We've had some random books, like...
But Callahan's was first published, the stories were first published in, like, Analog Magazine, so...
In pulp form, like a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in pulp form, but... They, you know, all the stories take place at Callahan's place, and so it's like, you know, the setting doesn't change across the book, so just the different events that happen in the stories. And so I liked it and I wanted to share.
Brandon and I have a theory. We think you wrote it. There's because it's a lot of jokes and puns that we could see you writing and coming up with.
They think you're secretly Spider Robinson. Yeah. What they don't know is Spider Robinson is the one who broke you. I mean, made you.
Even the way broke the stories you. Are delivered reminds me of.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
Specifically the character of Doc. I know we'll get into more later, but I think either you are Spider Robinson and wrote yourself in, or you knew Spider Robinson and he wrote you in.
No, it's a mantle like the Dread Pirate Roberts. It goes from one to another.
Yes! There we go.
That's like, it just, it is you now, and then later on it'll be Bonnie.
No, I'm not that punny. I hope I'm not that punny.
It's kind of punny of you to say you're not that punny.
So that's why I picked it and suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
you want to start us off? Likes, favorites.
Oh, favorites and likes. Let's see. It's Time Traveler. Centipede's Dilemma.
You can say just the whole book if you want.
Right.
Yeah, well,
he took notes.
Yeah, I took notes. You know, one of the story, it's not the best story in the book, but it's a memorable one, and one that I found funny and stuck in my memory is the one titled Just Dessert, where the practical jokers come in and they have a hot water bottle full of beef stew and fake pretend barfing all over the bar, and then the two buddies that came in get spoons and start eating it up, and they empty the place. Almost empty the place, and they leave, and everybody is furious except for Doc Webster, and he's like, he's just sitting there shaking his head with a big grin. What are you so happy about? He says, oh, I've seen that one before. Said, while they were waiting for the shock value and fishing for their spoons, I just sprinkled a little Epicac powder on it. And it doesn't go into an explanation, but that's the stuff that they use at hospitals to induce vomiting when
mm-hmm.
you need to have a patient do that.
All right, see, I didn't even know what that was, so it just went, whoop, and, it didn't mean anything to me.
I only knew of what that was because of my little bit of a medical background.
Right? Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been lost.
I forget.
I only know because he's told me what Epicac is before.
Yeah. I forget. I heard about it somewhere, and I don't remember where.
Heard about it.
And that's the only, like, whatever that random reference was. I was like,
there's an episode in Family Guy where they have a bet to see who can hold it down the longest after drinking a bottle of expired Epicac.
I hated that scene. I hated it.
I don't like puke.
The true story, I'm listening to that on the audio version, that story, on my way to work up the mountain. So I drive up a mountain to go to work. I had to pull off to the side because I almost threw up. When the two guys threw up on the bar, like, it just...
Start eating,
it got me. I was like, yeah, I had to
Are
pull
you sure
off.
It wasn't the curves going up to
maybe a little bit of that, but I had to pull off to the side of the road.
I think probably my favorite story out of the set is the Law of Conservation of Pain.
Mm. Which one was that one again?
The one with the meddler.
The meddler
guy that comes from the future.
The future guy with about the singer.
The singer who has a scar on her face and sings the sad
Bobby
music.
Joy.
Bobby Joy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's.
I remember that now.
He comes to metal. Save her from the incident.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I finished this book a month ago, so I'm like, I remember it. Okay, yeah.
But that one was probably my favorite one of the stories.
Yeah.
Although another one that sticks in my memory all the time is the Centipede's Dilemma.
Which one's that?
Why does that one stick with you?
Dink Fogarty, the guy who comes in and he's
his
glass
telepath.
Never runs empty because he makes the glass want mm-hmm. booze from the other glasses nearby, and he enters the dart championship and he makes the bullseye want darts.
Is that the one where
and
his brother?
No,
that's the one. The two are better.
And that's the one that he's, you know, everybody's like, and one of the fellows says, so what's it like? How does it work? And he's like, I don't know. I've never thought about it. So he starts picturing in his mind making the bullseye want the darts, and all the darts go out of the dartboard and go, and he's wearing this heavy canvas hat, floppy hat.
Right.
And that's the only thing that saves him.
Right.
And after right, that, he's never able to use his powers because because as soon as he tries to, he starts thinking in his head, how does this work?
And it goes towards him.
And everything will go towards him as he's trying to picture what's happening. It was called Centipede's Dilemma because of the tale of the centipede where somebody goes, how do you walk on 100 legs? And he's always just done it. And as he sits down and starts to think about how he does it, and
he trips, he can't
and gets so flustered, can't walk anymore. So
right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's been a while.
He had it coming and he got his comeuppance, but then he wasn't able to use it after that to mess with people. And and I can't remember at this point, because there are several books in the series, if he ends up becoming a regular or not, or that's the only time we see
him. That's the only time we see him.
Yeah. Brandon got hooked and read the series, so.
I read out of, I think there's 9 books, I read 6 of them.
Okay.
So theoretically, he could come back.
Well,
yeah, probably not.
The 3 books I didn't read were earlier in the series, and they weren't on Audible.
Surprise twist, he comes in the last book.
So.
He's the one who ends up running. He's Spider-Man.
But those were some of my favorites. I really like the characterization of the regulars, because they come across to me as real people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people who really care, which was kind of the point of Callahan's Place. And I like the rules. Every drink is 50 cents, and if you have a toast, you walk up to the chalk line, make your toast, and heave your glass into the fireplace.
I'm sorry, I don't have a fireplace for us to do that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just expect better things.
We'll just throw glasses in your house wherever.
You know,
pick a spot.
If you throw the glass into the fireplace, then that's another 50 cents. So that's why everybody just pays it a dollar bill. And if you didn't happen to make a toast, then there's a cigar box of quarters at the end of the bar by the door. And you just pick up your change on the way out. Mm-hmm. Most everybody makes a toast, you know. Or,
okay, or Bonnie, if you don't have a fireplace, which corner do you want?
I can't imagine how much he must actually be spending to buy new bar glasses every day, essentially.
But he buys them in bulk,
and he says at one point that it's about 50 cents, but still, that's 100 glasses a day or something.
Yeah.
He probably gets a really good deal because he buys in bulk.
Yeah.
They don't have to be sturdy. They only last a drink.
That's true.
He could get he'd buy the really cheap ones that people usually don't want to buy because they break too easily.
Well, I know he cheats.
Heck, he could get the prop ones. Spun glass. He's getting some spun sugar or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So, David?
I don't really have a favorite character.
Moment pun?
No. The puns went over my head. I'd have to say that my favorite story was the non-violent, I guess you would
the
call
alien race.
Aliens that were manipulating Earth.
Oh gosh.
See, that's one I had
unnatural causes.
That's one I had a problem with.
Yeah.
The Hitler guy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just threw that in there for the shock value. Because if you really read the book, it kind of makes sense how stuff was manipulated over the years, and how some stuff, how could someone back then think of such a thing that would really change the Earth so much? And then it kind of makes sense that it was a higher alien power manipulating the Earth that way.
Yeah.
And they just put the Hitler thing in there just for shock value, in my opinion.
Well, they did go out and start destroying the aliens.
Mickey Finn said he was going to.
Well, that's what the earthquakes were.
Yeah.
That's why it started with the earthquakes and then ended with the earthquakes and made sense. Oh, okay, that's what was going on.
No. But this book reminded me of the bar that my dad used to play pool at when I was a kid.
It was filled with time travelers?
Huh?
It was filled with time travelers.
The stories and stuff is just all the BS that drunk people talk about. That's all these stories are, is a whole bunch of drunk people talking bullshit. So they could be saying, oh, space aliens, this and that, and okay, it's just a drunk story. Because they all, that's
you,
all
you
they
said,
are.
Because you started reading it before I did, and you said, Cheers! Whoever made Cheers read this book. This is Cheers!
Exactly. Because exactly, or Cheer, I mean, the show Cheers.
You have the regulars, and then you have the ones that wander in and become regulars.
This book was either written after Cheers, or Cheers was written because
of
this book.
But we looked it up, and the book was written first. So that's
so they probably created Cheers based off of this book.
Somebody read it.
Because most definitely, because they come up with all the BS stories in there. It's just so much of drunk people just talking.
No, I can imagine is Doc walking in the bar and going, Doc!
Right? Copyright 1977.
Everybody knows
I don't remember when Cheers came out.
I want to say after the 70s, probably. Yeah, but
80s.
I don't know.
It was 80s. Yeah. 70s or 80s.
Late
or
70s
like
or early 80s, yeah.
Because it ran forever into the 90s.
I'm glad you came. And then I'd say the second story that I liked was the priest and his wife that were caught
in the
prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't really consider him a time traveler.
Well, they talked about that was the title of the story.
I know, yeah.
And they explained why he was a time traveler.
It totally makes sense because if you know nothing, because nothing is new, and then suddenly you're just like dropped into that, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
he spent 10 years with no outside communication. And
all those things that happened in that decade,
That was the first story that I...
That was the first story, wasn't it?
No.
No,
that was the second story. First story was the man with the eyes.
It was.
I love that the characters, though, stayed.
Yeah.
Like, Mickey Finn is in the first story, but he returns. And the guy, like you're talking about from yours, the time traveler, he gets a job. And so he's there some nights. You see him in other stories.
He's actually one of the bartenders.
Yeah.
Relief bartender, yeah.
Yeah. So, I jumped in on that, but
yeah. But other than that, that was basically it. I mean,
you just like those couple stories. And you have a list of things you didn't like, we'll hear later.
Well, of course.
You even have to ask?
I know, right? All right, Lewis.
The time traveler story was the first one. I mean, granted, it's only the second story, but it was the first one where I was like, oh, they're actually going to touch on some fairly serious shit in this book.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, because to be like essentially a political prisoner for 10 years with your wife in basically total solitude.
Yeah, that's, and you were a priest.
That's heavy stuff, man.
Yeah. Most of the stories were. Like, I've heard, my dad's the one who suggested it. I've heard about this book my entire life. I pictured someplace in outer space, first of all. I pictured...
Hold on, look at the ice machine.
I know, it's okay, I paused. I pictured more aliens than there were, and because I knew about all the puns, I thought it was a comedy. This is a drama with puns. Like, none of the stories are most of them don't even have happy endings. They're only bittersweet endings. So it wasn't what I was expecting from everything I heard.
I was
going to
say it's more
life.
Of a dramedy, but it's kind of not.
No, because there's comic relief, but it's mostly all the stories are dramas. Mm-hmm. They're really deep. They're really serious. They touch on a lot of life and a lot of humanity, and it's not happy, which surprises me that it's such a favorite book of yours, because my dad here doesn't like sad stuff. He doesn't like to watch dramas. He likes happy endings.
I kind of had the same two of the thoughts I had the same was I thought it was going to be an outer space bar.
Yeah.
I also thought that it would be more funny. Not more funny, but happier.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going to be because I saw the aliens
on
the
cover.
Covers.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be some kind of space bar.
And for some
well.
Reason, because I've heard little bits of it all my life, of course. Because it's one of his favorites. But I thought it was one of those that not only is it mostly only people who need to be there find it, but I got the impression it changed locations
That's
to
what I got, yeah.
where people needed it to be. Like that one, diner in that show we watched that only lasted a season, and I can't remember like the name of it now. But
maybe anyway, that's what I was messing it up with. Maybe because I didn't watch that show, but I knew of it.
Because I don't remember a single time in this book that it changed location.
Right, but for some reason, I thought that it did. So I was like, oh no, this is a real solid location in America. This is not an outer space.
Well, Long Island. Funny story. I don't know if any of you read like the introduction to it, but apparently the author got a lot of fan mail saying, where can I find this bar?
Yeah,
they thought it was a real place. And to the point where somebody was like, hey,
Callahan.
They figured out it was supposed to be, I forget, like Long Island or something like that.
Because he says Long Island.
And he's like,
I've been every bar in Long Island.
And none of them are the bar from this. Look at that.
Create a Callahan's place, but it's like in further south.
I'm sure someone has it.
In the foreword, he talks about how it metastasized online as a web page.
Oh, okay.
Fan made web page.
Yeah, anyway. So yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to just, yeah, go ahead. What were you saying?
I honestly don't remember at this point.
How it dealt with serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Serious stuff, yes.
The serious stuff in here. Like, when it hits hard, and kind of is, at least it was unexpected to me, but I got, you know, good relief with the funny stuff, the puns, the jokes, the stories that aren't serious, and in those moments, this reminded me a lot of, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
Or at least that kind of story where it's like, here's something weird and possibly apocalyptic, but look, a fish. Like,
right.
it was so random at times and came out of nowhere, and I love that kind of shit. It makes me smile, you know?
Yeah. Great, I feel now anytime something random happens, oh, look, a fish.
A fish. It was good, though. I liked it. We can get into some of the dislikes, but I didn't really have that many.
That's good.
It was good. It's worth a read.
Yeah. Millie?
So I wrote notes, not a lot, but I wrote a couple just because I know in my head I'm always forgetting what I wanted to say until I'm like two people fat, like Justin would be speaking, oh yeah. But I think my favorite story was the two heads are better than one. I don't know why I liked that one. I can't like point to
that anything. One was a happy ending though.
Probably like, because it was a happier
ending.
Yeah. What was that again?
One where the brothers have telepathy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Telepathic brothers.
Yeah. That one was. That one's probably the
Jim
only one with
Paul
a real
McDonald.
Happy ending. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they kind of end up in the same body essentially.
Yeah. And they work together.
But they're happy about it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think the thing I liked most about the book were just the characters and the, like, I liked the puns. I know there were a lot of them. I felt like there were so many at points to the point where I was like, okay, you can put a little normal dialogue in here. But
you could just have them say hi.
Hi. I mean, that's, you know. But yeah, just a lot of the puns and just the general feel of the bars. It definitely was, I feel like, one of those things where if it were a real bar, I would want to go there. You know, just because of the atmosphere. And I think a lot of people who read the book, who like the book, might feel the same way. Like, why isn't this a real place kind of thing?
Although you'd be one of the only women to ever go to that bar.
I know.
That's okay.
Later on, that changes.
I can hold my own. Well, and he's read more in the books.
He's read
6 of 9.
So, nice. So Rachel's not the only one.
I would go, and I don't know if you necessarily need to have a problem to go, but, you know, I would go. Right?
But if you do, it's a good place to, deal with it.
I would love to be able to have the chance to throw a glass into the fireplace. Even if I don't have anything I'm angry about.
It sounds so cathartic.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, guys. If I had a fireplace, we would have done that tonight.
Mm. Yeah, you really shit the bed on this one, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Good job. You should have bought a house in preparation for this book, I'm just saying.
With a fireplace.
Sure. Built one? I don't know.
I don't know when this is going up, but yeah, coming off of summer when I, as a teacher, haven't been working. Fabulous idea, guys.
Right. I have a note in here that every time Doc came onto the page, I thought of Wayne. I was like, Wayne is who I thought of every time he was on there. I was like, oh, said Wayne. Wayne said that pun, you know. Like, I couldn't help it. Like, the moment, I was introduced to the character. I was like, okay, there we go.
I know this guy.
Yeah, I know this guy.
I had lunch with this guy very regularly.
I just had lunch with this guy yesterday. Okay, let's go, you know. And I definitely feel like, for me, the characters and the atmosphere were what made it 10 times more interesting, like, than just the stories. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, the stories were good, but it's all about the characters and just the general atmosphere of the bar that made me think, I would like this place, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so those are my basic thoughts on the matter.
Wayne first told me about this book, I want to say somewhere around 2003, 2004.
So it's been a while.
And I just kind of slept on it and never read it, and I regret.
85? Probably. I think I've been hearing about it since I was a kid. So, old enough to read.
The first,
since I was conceived, he's been titled.
Right? Now,
the first three novels are all anthology. Mm-hmm. And it's combined into Callahan's Chronicles. And then after that, there's Callahan's Legacy, Callahan's Key, and Callahan's Con. I've read all those since this was drawn from the hat.
So you haven't read Callahan's Lady?
No, I didn't read Callahan's Lady. It's not on
Audible. Lady Slings the Booze.
Or Lady Slings the Booze.
Lady Slings the Booze. I love it. That's great.
Yeah, those are not on Audible, unfortunately.
I wish I had a mind to come up with those kinds of puns.
Oh, it's brilliant stuff. And the first book is good and lays really a foundation. But once you get into some of the other stories, like, I just got so sucked into the world. Like, it gets into some serious sci-fi trope, like the mirror universe, talking dogs. But out of the 9 stories we read, or that was mandatory reading.
You can't say mandatory. Yeah. It makes it sound bad.
It was in the first book. Yeah. That's what everybody was reading.
The selected books. The first book. Yes.
Only Maze Runner was mandatory reading.
Okay. Bonnie, I'm sorry.
It will never die.
No, it died. It died before it ever had a chance to live.
I think we've beaten that one to death.
Oh my gosh.
No, we haven't.
Well, you know what's funny is Maze Runner has a higher, like, listener count. I think it's because in all the other episodes we keep saying how bad Maze Runner is.
People are like, well, I gotta listen. How bad is Maze Runner?
That bad? What are they doing that book?
I was
also
working on...
A lot of people have been listening to the Maze Runner.
Yeah. I was
giving them free publicity.
I was in the school library because we've actually been in school for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. a little over 2 weeks now. And I was in the library trying to get the curriculum. We were trying to figure out what I needed because I'm covering a vacancy. But anyway, mm-hmm. I'm telling the librarian about the book club and about the Maze Runner because I'm at a middle school. Maze Runner is popular among the middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is a lot of students don't read whole books. So it's not the greatest book. It's poorly written. There are so many better books out there, but at least they're reading.
Yeah.
And I told her, I'm like, it's not that good. It's really bad. I said, in my book club, we now rate things on a scale of Maze Runner to 10. Like, it's that bad. I'm like, go ahead and read it because the students are reading it. So you can find out what they're reading and recommend something better that they'd enjoy in the same genre.
Yeah, like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
It's definitely more interesting, yes. Anyway, yeah.
out of the 9 stories that we all read, the two I really like, I guess, is the Man with the Eyes, the first one.
First one, Mickey Finn.
To my profession.
Yes.
I'm like, kind of like, okay, what, you know, like that whole thing with, you know, the and idea of...
Ten in a row.
Get...
Strawberry.
I don't know
there
if there's any left.
Anymore.
Or anything's fine.
Orange.
Diet.
Yeah. Orange is fine. Not good.
But the idea of, like, we have to get this man so drunk to save the universe.
Right?
Like that is clever.
That is literally the only time you'll ever see getting drunk as an actual solution.
We need to get this man blacked out drunk in the next 3 minutes. Can we do it? The universe depends on us.
Yes.
You know, get out the funnel. We're going to make this happen. You know.
I like that.
It's like some freaking
Shit. It's so good. But the thing I like about it is that it kind of mentions him in passing,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to Tommy Jensen's story. You know, yeah. where he comes in, he makes his toast to Smack.
Jensen, I think it was before... Before
the man with the eyes is the first story.
No, it's the first story. There's the same story.
They're in the same story.
But I think the Smack... thing was before
it was
yeah
because
yeah.
it was in response to how the regulars
reacted
mm-hmm. to Tommy in a caring, loving fashion that made
Mickey Finn
made Mike, yes. Mike you know stand
yeah, whatever, mm-hmm. Mickey Finn.
Step and up and say and do his toasts yeah, and yeah. say here's my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tommy's a regular. He keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I love about the book.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you have a character introduced, they get mentioned again. You know, mm-hmm. not every character, obviously, yeah. like, but, you know, the ones that came and got fixed, that you read the story where they got helped.
Yeah.
They come back. You see him again, or you hear about him again, or, hey, I was just talking to Mickey the other day, and he's loving it up in Canada, or whatever, yeah. you know, he comes back later in the, you know.
That's kind of regular.
Right, but he moved away to Canada.
But they still hear something about it.
Right, right. And so that turns...
bar stories.
But it turns him into a regular, and they stay. You know, they come in and they stay. Mm-hmm. And you hear about him. And so it's not like just, because it is all these different stories. But it's not just the regulars who were already there at the beginning. They keep adding people on, and it's not like you never hear about them again. You still hear about them, you know.
One thing I thought was kind of cool is you got to, I don't remember if it explicitly says it in the book, I don't remember, or if it was just kind of a feeling I got, but it seems like they all come while they have their problems, and then somehow they work through their problems, and then you don't really see them as much.
He talks about it in that one that David liked so much, the unnatural causes,
because it's Halloween night,
and a lot of people are with their families, and those who aren't, there's somehow they end up back at the bar.
Yeah,
you know, even ones that haven't been there for a long time, they're there because, you know, they think about it on Halloween or whatever. It was talking. I literally just read it a couple hours ago. But
so they come back and, visit, and the old regulars
on holidays like Halloween. You know, that's when they
it seems like theoretically, if this were a real bar, that it's a place where you can go that for once actually puts the customers above. Oh, I just need more money for my business.
Right, doesn't.
Like, if they come back, great, we're here for you. But if not, have a great life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we're glad that you worked through whatever it is that you needed to work through kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, like, I would encourage, like, I know some of you didn't care for this, but I'd encourage you to go further, especially with the anthology. Because
the first three books.
The first three books. There's a story in there, once you get to Jake's story... broke my heart. Like, once you find out our narrator's backstory...
Well, it tells us in the first one.
It mentions it.
It mentions it that his wife and daughter died in the car accident because the brakes failed that he put in trying to save money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's more to it. I know, but that's what they tell us in the first book.
That's the snippet they give us.
That's the snippet. But when you get to the actual... Like, there's a story later on where it's the anniversary of his wife's death.
Well, don't give it away.
You know, but that is a brilliant moment. That is a brilliant piece of writing. Spider Robinson, this is the only thing of his I've read. He's a humanist. Like, he gets to the core of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that...
He gets people.
Yeah, just...
I'm pretty sure he wrote that about himself. Because his wife died of cancer, and so did his daughter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Damn.
People who've lived life that understand. You know?
He has horrible medical problems with him.
Mm. I didn't know that, but I mean...
Well, that makes that more heartbreaking when you get to
yeah,
the
party. Like that...
There probably is some of that in there then. Like, Anne Rice specifically wrote the Interview with the Vampire, I want to say after, like, the death of one of her children or something.
Oh.
Gosh, I wish that book had been better.
I liked it.
That's such a disappointment.
Which one?
We had that conversation.
Interview with the Vampire.
Interview with the Vampire.
No, because I'd heard all... Still, it fell
over.
Off the pedestal.
It doesn't matter.
No, it...
Carry on. This book reminds me of a whole bunch of bar stories that my dad would tell and listen while we were going there on Tuesday nights for pool league night.
Well, I love the whole series. The one thing I will end that, because like, I went on a deep dive, the one thing that surprised me the most is there's a video game. There's a point.
Oh yeah.
There's a point and click Callahan's video game. It's been licensed for multiple TV and movies that somehow have never manifested. People keep trying to make something happen with the series.
Mess it up.
You know, I'd actually like to see a TV show.
What's the point of the video game?
It's a point and click adventure where you go through some of the backstory of some of the characters in the bar.
Hmm. You start off in the bar and then leave the bar to go follow the story and then come back and.
It would make a good show. We should call it Cheers 2. I mean,
Cheers
in Long Island. In space sounds better, but it's not really in
Cheers
space.
Redux.
Cheers, it's a sci-fi Cheers. It is. Yes.
So, sorry.
Really?
No, you're the one who said it though. Like a month ago when you
not
first started
space.
Reading it. Not in space.
Made me think of
Cheers.
Remember? No, I'm saying it.
The original Muppet Show, the pigs in space. Cheers in space.
No.
I just fixed.
I don't have a whole lot to say about this particular book. It was very well written, I will say that. But that's about all I have.
It didn't really engage you?
It didn't, no. I honestly had trouble staying awake for it. So, I'm going
to
go ahead.
And he listens to it at work while he's mopping floors and things.
I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to my
wife. As long as you stay on task.
That's not the only time he listens. Yeah. Also while driving, so no.
Okay, as long as you weren't driving.
Not usually, no. Well, I mean, like I said, it wasn't what I expected hearing about it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It is across time saloon, not across space saloon, but I still, for some reason, thought it took place on an alien planet and not
our
world.
Well, the cover really lends itself
because
it's got three space aliens on
it.
You could also assume that's probably the costume for Halloween in that story.
Maybe, yeah.
But there was only one.
There was only one green guy, and he was furry.
I get the sense that this cover is basically like, hey, artist, make a cover. We'll give you a blurb to work with, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, the problem with that is
space aliens on it.
There's a mirror on the... Uh-huh.
And there was no mirror at
Callahan's
the
bar.
He specifically didn't have a mirror.
He doesn't have a mirror.
Rachel stared... He didn't want people to be narcissistic.
Later on, there's a story where...
That cover has an Andorian.
A mirror just magically manifests.
Oh, gosh.
Like, they all walk in and...
There's
like,
a mirror and they're
Callahan's
like,
I don't know. I didn't put this in.
Did
you Jokers do this last night? Oh, we didn't do it.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to read that one. There was things I liked about all the stories, but they were sad. I thought they were going to be funny. They were sad. And even the ones that had happy endings, okay, I'd say the happiest one was the one with the telepathic brothers. That was the happiest ending. Mm-hmm. The time traveler one with the singer lady had a happy ending, but it was still bittersweet. Everything that had a good ending, they were all... bittersweet. Like, it wasn't exactly happy, but it wasn't exactly sad. I mean, the problem was fixed, but there's still a lot of emotion involved. And you know, not that it ever brought me to tears, and I'm a major weeper, so that's, you know, unusual for me not to cry about something, as I do. But I didn't in this book, but it wasn't all like, oh, that was a great story. It was like, oh, well, I mean, they fixed the problem, so that's good, right? You know, like, that's how it felt.
I was like, well, okay, that wasn't as sad as the other.
Like, I liked the characters. Well, I loved Rachel because she dropped dead in the bar. She didn't.
I thought she did.
No, she was mm-hmm. snoring. She fell asleep. He ended up keeping her from dying, and they said, oh, we'll take her to the hospital and get her checked out. And they refer back to her another time. And she didn't actually drop dead. She did almost drop dead, but didn't. But
well, the stories are sad because what do drunks do? They drown their sorrows away.
Yeah, but half these people aren't drunk most of the time.
Well, that's what drinking the a little whole bit. Premise of
our main character is
drown your sorrows away, and then when you're plastered drunk, you're all happy. So that means your sorrows are gone.
Our main character is the lead guitarist for the bar band. Like, he's there playing
guitar.
He's not there to drink
piano every night. I did like that little banter at one point. It's like, what should we play? How about the one we've been practicing all afternoon?
All right. Yeah. They played their one song.
One of the two songs.
Oh, they
songs
want us
know.
To play again? I guess we'll play the other song. Like, we have two songs. Awesome. Yeah, though, there's some funny bits, and there's some puns, and there's puns that I didn't get. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying before we started recording earlier, I was like, there's a couple times where it was, oh, and everybody threw their glasses into the thing, and I'm like, what was the pun? It had to have been relevant for the time period that the book was written, mm-hmm. but I have no idea.
I get the distinct sense that this book is very much a product of the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like, not definitely. Just that's when it was written, but, like, yep. so heavily
yeah.
influenced
yeah.
by
yeah. that. I mean, like, certain know? Puns, the ones that are on plays on normal words and normal things, yeah, I get those. I mean, I even thought of a few he should have added. But, you know, yeah, I got Rachel. She was smart. I liked that. She was quick. I liked that about her. But yeah, a few of them I didn't get, and then I was like, okay, I have no idea.
I can't remember them now, but I remember reading
there was a couple
that,
yeah.
like, I was like, oh, I know what that is, but nobody else will know what that is nowadays. Like,
so maybe you got some of the ones I didn't get.
Probably.
That's fine.
But
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it wasn't necessarily negative. It made me feel like, oh, well, I didn't get that. But I liked Rachel. I did like the one with the singer. It made me wish that the auto guy, you know, that they'd actually had, like, some woman record a song and do it, because the Apple guy does the sing-songy voice thing, but I'm like, man, I want to hear this song.
See, I was wondering about you know? That, because I have the book in front of me, and at that
yeah.
point, I'm like, this is one of the problems that books always have when it comes to musical sections.
Right.
There's no way without having the music notes literally in the book and someone can read them
yeah.
for the reader to know, oh, this is the beat, this is the note, this is the lyrics and how they're sung.
And yeah. I wish, you know, like, I would have liked that. That would have been
otherwise
cool.
It just looks like really nice poetry. You
right,
know?
Right. Yeah, I had that problem this week when I was reading Charlie and Chocolate Factory to my students. It's all the Oompa Loompa songs. I'm trying
when
to do a sing-song.
When you got to the dance, sweet.
That isn't... Okay, so the new movie did better than the old movie on that because they took the lyrics of the straight from the book for the songs. The Oompa Loompa Doompity Doo one, those aren't the lyrics in the book.
Huh.
Just
who
so
cares?
You know. I do. that's why I said it, because I care. Let me see.
What do you
I
get
know.
When you got all down?
Look for the underline.
I'm looking at the top.
Something,
yes, I know.
Something eats or something like that. I don't remember.
I think it's eating as much as
oh
an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the Meddler was probably my favorite, that one. Law of Conservation of Pain. That one was probably one of my favorites. I liked the first one, The Man with the Eyes, with Mickey Finn. Again, like I said, I like the characters show up again and again. So, I don't know. I mean, it was enjoyable. It wasn't what I expected hearing about it, but it wasn't like it fell off its pedestal mm-hmm. like The Interview with the Vampire did. I was okay with it. It just was different. But mm-hmm. it was good. I liked it. All right. Dislikes. Your turn.
Dislikes?
Never mind. David!
What? Is there anything?
Is there anything you didn't like, Dad?
In this first book, no.
Okay.
Not really. There's some things that happened two or three books down the road that pissed me off.
Okay.
Wow.
Fair enough.
But not in this book.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
All right. David, get out your long list. Let's hear it.
It was really hard for me to get into this book.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Same thing as Justin, it didn't really engage you?
No. Because I see how you guys see the comedy in this, but I grew up with this with my dad being a drunk since I was a kid.
Right, so you saw that side.
I see the negative side of it. I don't see the humor in this at all. That all, mm-hmm. To me, this whole book is a whole bunch of drunk talk to me. Mm. And then when my dad comes home screaming, roaring, drunk, throwing shit around.
Now, it'd be fair to say it's because of what you bring to the book and not necessarily what the book is?
No, because I could read the book and to me, yeah, okay, they're trying to make it interesting by telling stories and about how people congregate at a bar, but to me, it just sounds like drunk talk. All the bullshit stories that people make up while they're drunk sitting at a bar.
Right, but in this instance, it's supposed to be true.
Trying to one-up the other people. But how can you can't even, I mean, okay, I could see that, but it doesn't ring with me.
Okay.
And the puns, you guys know me, I don't get puns. They just go right above my head. So
nothing goes over my head.
The ones with words, like how you were saying, mm-hmm. I got, but like all the rest of them, I'm like, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
This is totally timepiece. It's stuck in the 70s and it stayed in the 70s.
I can agree with that. That one.
And I probably would have liked the song better if I even knew what all that jibber jabber meant.
Mm.
To me, it was just okay. I don't even know what that means.
Right.
I mean, I read the words to the song, but
just words. Yeah,
they were just words. It wasn't meaning anything to me.
Right.
Because I'm not musically inclined.
Right. Whereas I'm a musician, so I wanted to know.
Yeah, a musician, musician or whatever, they're going to be able to understand the music jibber jabber.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't get into it. I read the whole book and everything, and yeah, I liked a couple of the stories and everything, but
not your thing.
No, it definitely was not my thing.
Okay,
Lewis.
Well, we touched a little bit on the music thing that I brought up. It's one of those things where, like, I adore music. It affects me on a personal level, mm-hmm. but I don't really play anything. I have a guitar. I don't really know how to play it. So when it talks about Bobby Joy going from E minor to an A to a C, I couldn't tell you what those notes are in my head.
I know.
I could do that on a piano, but not on a guitar.
Okay, so he changed his notes 3 times. Got it.
Yeah.
To me, it didn't mean anything to me. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it's not just the notes. It's usually a chord. So you're talking about 3 notes. Unless it's a seventh, but never mind.
It's an issue that anybody that puts any kind of music or musicality into a book has to be super careful of, because you're going to lose
anybody who's not a musician.
Yeah, and that's like 2-3/4 of your audience probably. Like.
Yeah, not everyone's a musician.
One of the things that stuck out at me as like a, ooh, I don't like this at all, was some of the story of Tony and Steve, the Vietnam veteran guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When he's talking about the drastic change that he went through in Vietnam, and maybe it's just because the topic is taken a lot more seriously now than it was in the 1960s, but at one point, Tony mentions that he just occasionally started raping Vietnamese people when he was over there in wartime, and I'm like, you just decided, okay, now I'm gonna rape people? Like, right? How do you make the mental decision to just go, okay, now I'm gonna sexually assault these people? Like, that to me is such a incredibly fucking drastic change that I couldn't imagine doing it.
Right.
I just couldn't. Mm. So that was one of the moments in the book that I'm like, oh, I'm completely taken out of this story now. I just don't like it.
I was washing dishes at the time, and I was not hearing every word, but enough that I was getting the gist of it. Mm-hmm. So it probably didn't affect me quite so much. As if I had been reading it, I would have been really pissed off like you were. And I was like, wait, what? I'm washing dishes. Okay. You know, I'm trying to finish the book before book club.
It was, and like I said, it's probably just that nowadays we take the subject of rape with incredible seriousness because it is an incredibly horrible
thing.
And it should
have always been taken that way, but it wasn't back then.
That's one of those things where I mentioned it was a product of the 60s and 70s because at the time they were just like, it's a bad thing, I'm sorry it happened to you, let's go get pizza.
Let's go get pizza.
Like,
pretty much.
That's kind of how it was, you know. It was seen more or less as like a woman's problem and therefore not so serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and it's your fault.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse you?
So that was one of the very bad things about the book. But for the most part I didn't dislike a whole lot. I will say it was a good thing that the book wasn't longer than it was, because given that it's short stories collected, the through line kind of wavers a bit here and there, you know, which actually made it an easy read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I didn't feel like I had to slog through any points of this book,
right?
Except for the one that made me mad.
Right, that one. That's one of the ones I listened to today because it was one of the last three.
Yeah.
So I had three left. I'm like, I got two and a half hours left. I got to do that while I'm cleaning, doing dishes, and cooking.
But there wasn't really a whole lot that I disliked about it. It seemed like an easy read with one big speed bump in the very end of it for me.
Yeah. Aileen, dislikes?
Let's see here. I think, honestly, the biggest dislike, and this is just kind of knowing my likes and dislikes, is I don't really often get into short stories. Not that they're a bad thing. I mean, I've read a couple short stories here and there. I'm like, oh, this is a fun little story. I've written some short stories. But going through an entire anthology of short stories is generally not my thing. We used to
publish a short story anthology.
Right?
But writing it,
it wasn't really her thing.
She hated everything.
She
liked writing it.
Right. And they aren't all the same kind of universe either.
Right. That's true. The other thing, too, I would agree with her on. This is probably the only the second short story anthology I've read start to finish. It's by the same author. It's all along the same theme. I have other anthologies that I've gotten partway through, and I liked the stories, but they're usually written by different people.
Yeah.
Like I have one that's all cats in space, and the stories are great, but they're all different writers in different settings, but they're all cats in space, and they're fun. But I haven't read one in a bit. You know?
I don't think I've ever read a complete anthology of anything that's short stories. As from cover to cover.
She's editing it. That's different.
Editing is completely different. But, I've got several short story collections, but I've read, a couple stories in this one. I've read a couple stories in that one. I've never actually sat down and said, I'm going to read the entire Grimm's Fairy Tales, cover to cover.
I've tried that.
I've almost
done it.
I've never sat down and thought, oh... Like, I just the other day grabbed, an Alfred Hitchcock Presents Stories That Go Bump in the Night. I read one book, put it down. I'm like, okay, I'll come back to that later. I've never actually sat and thought, I'm going to read all these stories in this book. Because generally speaking, if I just want, little stories here and there, I'll find a TV show that's a different story a week, like the Alfred Hitchcock Presents, different story. I'd rather watch it than read an entire book that's just different stories.
Okay.
Even if they're kind of connected in a way.
So I shouldn't suggest iRobot because that is a collection. Yes. It's a collection of short stories. It's probably the first one I ever read, start to finish, of a collection of short stories. They're all about robots. Isaac Asimov.
So it's not short stories that I have a problem. It's just I just generally don't. If I want to read a book, I'd rather be one continuous story from start to finish. And again, it's not anything against the genre, just that's me personally, So going through this book, it's like, wow, I think this is the most short stories in a single book I've ever read.
And another thing about this, even though it is a collection of short stories, they're a chronology to them.
There is, but
where a lot of anthologies, there aren't
disconnected.
Yeah.
Complete disconnect. So, in many anthologies that I read, I just kind of, that title sounds interesting, and I skip around.
Whereas here, because the characters, once they've joined, they're part of it. You want to read in chronological order, or you missed something. Mm-hmm. You don't know who that person is.
Generally, when I read a short story that's in a collection. It's, oh, I just finished this book. It was a great book. But I don't want to jump right into the next, you know, fast-paced book. So I'll just read this quick short story. Oh, that was an amazing short story. Okay, I'm ready for a longer book now. Yeah. You know?
No, I get
so
it.
So that's usually, you know.
That's probably what saved me to be able to actually read the book, was knowing that, okay, this story is coming to an end and I could put it down.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have finished it.
Yeah.
I think that is one thing, that is a good thing about short story collections, is being able to do that.
Yep.
Other than that, I think the only thing I didn't like other than that was just the fact that, again, playing into expectations, I expected happier. And not that the sadness is bad, again, just not what I was expecting.
Wasn't what you expected, so. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Brandon hated it. That's why he read all the other books in the series.
That's why he read all six.
He was pure like, I'm finding... He wanted to find out which the worst collection was.
Got it. Yeah.
Which one did you hate the most?
Man, we're talking about book one.
I know. I'm kind of with Wayne, where my problem is I have issues with stuff that happens later in the series.
Yes.
They gave each other knowing looks. I think they know what...
We might have different... qualms. We might. We'll
talk
about
it later.
Off mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I got sucked up into the world. Like, I really liked it. I mean, not every short story is a winner.
Nope.
But there's a good one right around the corner.
Like Piter's story.
What?
It's one of the other books.
Okay, well, just
stop bringing up other books. Focus.
This book. And one of the good things about that, like you were saying, is that essentially there's no cliffhangers at the end of each of the stories.
Right, everything's resolved.
You can't really do that if it's originally being published in like a magazine, and it might be in a different magazine next time. So story is its own self-contained little world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's very convenient.
Yes. Yeah, I'll pass it on to Justin.
He didn't like that he had a hard time staying awake.
Yeah, it didn't capture my fancy. I'm with David. A lot of the
jokes,
jokes and puns. in some ways, I'm very literal, so puns don't usually work with me unless they're obvious. You know.
Yeah. Like the ones Bonnie says, with they're just a mix of words. Okay,
yeah.
I got that.
Yeah.
But then when they start trying to have an alternate meaning, I'm like, okay, next.
But it was, I don't know, it wasn't a bad book. Like I said before, it was well written and it had good character development, but it just...
You wouldn't call it a favorite.
No.
No.
It wasn't. You know, and
safe to assume you're probably not going to read the other ones then.
No.
Well,
guess what I have suggestions for.
Yeah, because
it's going to be like a four people group. Then.
There's few books I've had to force myself to read to push through them, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I'd have to say that as well.
You know, it's up there with a great.
I mean, no offense to you, and I know you enjoyed it. It just wasn't my thing.
Okay, I like, because Justin gets it on Audible, so we share it on Audible. So sometimes I buy a copy of the book, but sometimes I'm like, well, why buy two copies of the book? We're already in the Audible version.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I put on Mario Kart, mute the volume, listen to the book while I'm racing on Mario Kart, listen to the book while I'm washing the dishes, listen to the book while I'm cooking, you know,
I was reading
get
this
other things done at the same time.
I was reading this at work. And more times than not, I'm usually sneaking books into the bathroom and just sit on the toilet and read the book. This book right here, I would rather go back to work.
Damn, bro. Holy shit, that sucks.
Okay, serious question. Is it better or worse than Maze Runner to you?
It's better than Maze Runner.
Okay. Everything's better than Maze Runner.
Well, yeah. I don't
Except
know.
Maybe Maze Runner too.
He had me questioning because he said he'd rather go back to work.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I asked that.
He didn't want to stab his eyes out. He just wanted to go back to work.
Man, work is more engaging than this book.
I just like, wow, I got better stuff I could be doing right now.
But, so I would say that I probably enjoyed the fact that it was on Audible and I could do other things while I'm listening to it.
Multitasking.
Dislikes. I don't know that I disliked that it ended all the puns, but I guess a little bit, because I'm like, that must have been a time period one that I don't get, because I didn't live back then. I'm not old enough to understand this joke.
I'm glad that people are saying that, because I do remember now that everyone's saying that there were a couple. I can't remember which ones they were.
I can't either.
But I remember thinking, I'm trying to grasp in my mind, like, okay, that's a pun.
A bunch
now.
Of glasses hit the you know, fireplace at the same time. I'm like, okay, so somebody just did a pun, but I didn't get it. Yeah. How did they just win Pun Day Night? I didn't get that one. Yeah. I like I said, you know, I liked Rachel because she was good, but with her puns, I liked that she came in and outdid the doc. Things I didn't like, I don't know. I mean, there's certain parts I didn't necessarily really care for. Like Lewis said, like that one was probably my least favorite story, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember the Vietnam one until he said it.
Me either.
Well, it's the same one as the guy who was the aliens. It was your favorite story. It's in that same one that they were talking about.
Unnatural causes.
Yeah. Where the guy was talking about Vietnam and the war and all his stuff, and then the other guy who wants absolution because he was Hitler, that alien guy. That's that same story.
Yeah. I don't even remember that part. Like, I was reading like one story per week.
Yeah. I didn't like that one. I didn't. Most of everything in there I didn't like, actually.
That's the one I have the most problems with, just because I'm not a fan of like the secret lizard people controlling the world.
There was a lot in that one I didn't like it, and that was one of the longer stories. Mm-hmm. That story in and of itself was over an hour on the Audible.
Yeah.
Just that story, and that was my least favorite one. So
it's an interesting sort of concept. The idea that like humanity has been shaped in secret by this society of whatever, like, mm-hmm. it's a fascinating idea from a literary standpoint, because right. it's so out of the box.
Yeah.
But I also
I didn't
do not put any
that was my least that was my least favorite story. Mm-hmm. I liked, of course, that was my least favorite. That's the one you liked. I liked the one, you know, the voice heard in Rama with the lady who walks in the bar, who's smart and gets all the puns. I liked her. Mm-hmm.
Rachel crying for her children.
And I liked the one with the singer and stuff, but there was, you know, things lacking. There were things I wanted more of in that too.
I think that would be better in a more visual manner.
Right.
If
well,
you could
and
actually see
there's
someone
things,
playing
yeah,
the
and hear it
and singing it. I think
yeah,
it would
that would be
a
lot
better.
Like mm-hmm. if someone were to actually succeed in televising this. You know, I would like to see it much better than reading it. Yes, mm-hmm. I think so too.
It's possible nowadays.
Yeah, and nowadays
it might have been a huge struggle to do it in the 80s and 90s.
An episode could be one of the short stories.
Right,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the story
you might
right
even
here, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or a two-parter on one of the long.
Yeah, exactly. But so I could see how it would be good in that way. Like I said, I was expecting it to be happier. That didn't necessarily mean that I didn't like it just because there was a lot of sadness in it, but it wasn't exactly an uplifting book. It was kind of depressing. I'm like, I got to put this down because this is sad.
I'm doomed.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know. It was all right. It wasn't my favorite, but I didn't hate it. You know what I mean? It's definitely better than the other. I don't know. I'd give it a 6, personally. Mm-hmm.
Out of 30? Damn.
That's hard, bro.
Out of 10.
Okay, all right.
Using math, that's like 1 out of 5.
So
there are two kinds of people. One that can extrapolate from unfinished data.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I'd say I'd probably give it like a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Dad, you give it a 10 out of 10, right? You suggested it?
I suggested it. I give it 9.5 out of 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. David,
what did you give it a half point
for?
What's the half point for?
Probably Vietnam Hitler story.
Vietnam.
Yeah.
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 Maybe like a 6, not a 7.
Yeah. 6. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one... It's definitely dated to the era it was written in. Yeah. Okay?
Can you imagine going and getting a drink for 50 cents?
Right.
Oh, wow.
But...
Oh, and on that note, the references to a lot of the... I guess you could call them presidential... cultural jokes. That I didn't really understand.
No, I didn't either, because I'm like, wait, I don't even know who was president at the time of this book being written.
My assumption is that most of the presidential jokes were aimed at Nixon.
I don't know for sure.
74 era.
Yeah.
I think I looked it up when this book was published. I think it was around Nixon.
Yeah.
That was my guess, but it wasn't.
It's safe. It's a safe guess.
but again, I didn't get the jokes because I wasn't part of that era. Yeah.
Probably very funny at the time.
If they're making jokes now. I just don't follow the president. Crap.
Yeah. All right. All so jokes, it's just a 6, a 9.5, a 4.
4.
A 6.
Yeah.
Maylene.
6.5.
All right. Brandon.
Since when did we start?
We've done it, gone around, and everyone.
It's not tradition, but sometimes we'll throw some numbers in for fun.
Actually, if you listen to them, we've done it more often than you think.
I listen to them all.
You gotta listen to them.
Why your numbers are so high?
I'm with Wayne, 9.5.
Justin?
I'll give it a 50.
Give or take. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
I can take it.
Recommend? Yes. Final thoughts? Some of us recommend. Final
soft
thought?
Soft recommendation. You wouldn't be in a bad way to read it, but don't go out of your way to find it. It was kind of hard for me to find.
Yeah, fair enough. I would like
Although
to.
I don't use Audible, so probably that's easier.
Right. Well, and I could get it on Kindle just fine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got mine on Kindle and read
it.
There you go.
When I buy it, I usually buy it on Kindle and he gets it on Audible. Sometimes when we get it on Kindle, the Audible's free because it's connected.
That's cool.
It just depends. Because he has Audible, so.
Oh, okay.
And we share a Kindle library. So sometimes
I bar hard copies of everything.
Yeah. Well, recommend, don't recommend. We know what the next one is.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
Of course you recommend it. You recommended it for book club.
Yes, I
so
did.
So we only have one more.
One book left.
I would have to admit that if they came out with a TV show based off of this, I would give it a chance.
Yeah, I would too. I'd love to see it televised. I think I would enjoy it more televised.
Yes. I watched a playthrough for the video game. Like, there's fun stuff you can do storyline-wise.
It was basically like a DOS game, right? Like, it's that old kind
of
thing.
No, it's a point-and-click. Like, there's graphics.
It's like
Myst or...
Yeah.
I'll throw this out there.
It's a pirate game.
Yeah.
If there are any TV producers listening to this and want to do a show, I recommend Wayne Abraham for the role of Doc.
He's got a hell of a voice. The man could narrate anything.
The dictionary.
All right. So the next book is Devil in the White City by
Eric Larson.
Okay.
Eric Larson, but the other uncool comic book creator.
Devil in the White City is my recommendation. And I will say, listener, it is a nonfiction book instead of a fiction book. I think it's the first one we've done.
Is it our first nonfiction?
I think so.
I think it might be.
We do a lot of fiction.
Good luck.
David's already read it, but he'll tell us about it next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Please come back.
So there you have it. That was our discussion on the Callahan's Crosstime Saloon. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, really good book. I can't recommend this series enough. I went ahead and read... several of the series that they had available on Audible. Hey, Audible, I'd like a sponsorship. Give me a sponsorship. I'll sponsor the heck out of you. So if you know, message Audible on our behalf. I don't know how you do that, but the next book is. It's a doozy. I'm not going to lie. Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. Not that Eric Larson. Not Savage Dragon Spider-Man Eric Larson. Not the Eric Larson that I got excited about when I heard the name Eric Larson. Some other author named Eric Larson. not the creator of Savage Dragon. I got excited. I thought we were going to get a novelization of Savage Dragon just, you know, destroying stuff. But no, it is The Devil in the White City by a different Eric Larson, which should be illegal. That's you know, copyright infringement or, you know, false market confusion, because there's a much more famous Eric Larson out there. I've met him at Comic-Con, but, you know, it's not like the other Eric Larson didn't run a multi-million dollar publishing company or anything like that. I don't know who this Eric Larson is, who wrote The Devil in the White City. But it is the true story of H.H. Holmes, the first serial killer in America, as it relates to the construction of the first Ferris wheel in America with the American, I can't think of the name. I just completely blanked right here, live on the air. The nonfiction historical, about H.H. Holmes. And the construction of the first world, America's first world fair. So that's what it was, yes. As you can tell, I'm losing my mind slowly because of the heat. It's like 108 in here. And I'm going to call it a day and take a cold shower. But I hope you enjoyed our discussion on Callahan's Cross Time Saloon. Read it. It's really good. And next up, we will be discussing The Devil in the White City. All right. See you next time.